Rupert wore a slight grin as he made his way across the courtyard to rejoin the unicorn.
Are you all right now, Rupert? You look a bit flushed.
I'm fine.
Julia's gone?
Yes.
I like her.
So do I.
Yeah, I'd noticed.
I see you've watched my cloak well.
Well, I do what I can.
Ready to move out?
As ready as I'll ever be. Why isn't the dragon coming with us? I just started to get used to him.
He's resting. I think the demons hurt him more than he'll admit. The rainbow should have healed him, but I suppose he's just not as young as he was. Last night it was all he could do to walk to the stables. I'll miss him, but he's not up to the long journey, let alone fighting off demons.
Demons? What demons?
Well, when we go back into the Darkwood.
The Darkwood? Oh! Well, nobody said anything to me about going back into the Darkwood. Right, that's it. Get that saddle off of me. I'm not moving.
Well, we're only going into it a little way.
Oh, so I suppose I'll only be killed a little bit. No, forget it.
Look, Unicorn, either we go and fetch the High Warlock or the Darkwood will come looking for us. It's that simple.
There has to be another alternative.
Like what?
Run away.
Are all unicorns as chicken as you?
The ones who have sense are. The only reason unicorns are so rare is that most of us haven't the sense to come in out of the rain or to stay clear of humans.
You're my friend, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. I've gotten used to having you around anyway.
I have to go back into the Darkwood again. It's my duty.
I know, and I have to go with you.
Thanks. I'd hate to have to do it without you.
What?
You know, I just realized, all this time we've been together, and I don't even know your name.
My name? I'm a slave, Prince. Slaves don't have names.
What? You're not a slave?
No. You think I wear the saddle and bridle by choice? I was taken from my herd by men with ropes and whips. They beat me until they broke my spirit and then they sold me to you. That's not slavery, huh? You've been good to me, Rupert. I'm fond of you. But I'm still a slave and you're still my master. And slaves don't have names. I used to have a name. When I was free, I had a name. One day I'll have a name again.
I'm sorry. I just never thought about it before. I led you into the Darkwood and nearly got you killed. You could have run off and left me at any time, but you didn't, because I needed you. You're my friend, Unicorn. If you don't want to come with me, you don't have to. But I do wish you would.
Climb aboard. We've a long ride ahead of us.
That we do. Julia was right, you know.
About what?
We shouldn't have come back to the castle. We were happy out there in the forest, weren't we?
We were.
No marriage contract, no spreading darkwood, no duty. Ah, hello, Sir Champion. That's a mighty big horse you've got there. 10 hands taller than my unicorn, I'd wager.
I prefer being protected.
Expecting trouble?
Always, sire. I take it you're ready to leave?
Of course. You did an excellent job, Sir Champion. I'm hurt, but not actually damaged.
I try to be professional.
One of these days...
You'll what, sire? Slip poison in my cup or a dagger in my back? I doubt it. That's not your way. You want to beat me sword to sword, as you did Harold. And you'll never be good enough to take me that way.
Don't put money on it. There was a time Harold thought the same.
The champion gave him a hard look from his armored charger, but said nothing. For a long moment, the two men stared at each other, feeling the change in their relationship. And for the first time, Rupert realized that he wasn't afraid of the champion anymore. For as long as Rupert could remember, the champion had seemed to him the personification of death. A cold-eyed killer with a bloody sword who would one day come for him as he had come for so many others. But not anymore. Rupert had gone sword to sword with him under the worst possible conditions, and he'd drawn blood twice. He might have lost the fight, but nobody had let the champion's blood in over 20 years. The man was good, very good, but he wasn't unbeatable. And one day, Rupert knew he was going to prove it.
Well, I have some last-minute...
One moment, Sir Champion.
I'm busy, sire.
I don't give a sweet damn how busy you are, Sir Champion. You turn your back on me again, and I'll have your head.
I think you forget your place, Rupert.
Do I? Last evening, my father ordered you to accept my authority during the journey to the Dark Tower. Are you going to break your word to your king?
My word is my bond, sire. On this journey, you command.
Good. Because if you try to undermine my authority over the guards again, I'll cut your throat while you're sleeping.
Threats aren't necessary, sire. I gave my word.
Very well. Have you told the men we'll have to pass through the Darkwood to reach the Warlock's Tower?
Aye. I've never actually traveled through the Long Night, sire. What's it like?
It's dark. Dark enough to break anyone.
Yes. I'll assemble the men, sire. You'll want to address them on this before we set out.
Do I have to?
It is customary to brief the men on what dangers they'll be facing, sire.
Oh, yes. All right, line them up, Sir Champion.
Right away, sire.
The champion rode off to gather the milling guards. Rupert strove to collect his thoughts. How the hell was he supposed to explain the dangers of the Darkwood to men who'd never even seen it? Most forest men never set foot in the Long Night. The Tanglewood saw to that. Rupert scowled thoughtfully. According to the champion, the Tanglewood had fallen to the darkness, and demons roamed the forest land at will. Rupert shrugged and let his hand drop to the pommel of the rainbow sword. If all else failed, he'd just have to summon another rainbow. The guardsmen slowly assembled before him in ones and twos. Breath steamed on the chill morning air, and the odd shaft of sunlight gleamed golden on shining chainmail. The guards looked hard and competent, and Rupert knew they'd never understand the true horror of the Darkwood until they met it face to face. It was too personal a horror to bear explanation, but he had to try.
Men, I'm going to tell you about the Darkwood. Many of you have never entered that place, and for good reason. The Darkwood is dangerous, always. Even when you can't see the demons, be sure they're watching you. There's no light, except what we take in. There's no usable food or water, except what we collect beforehand. I've passed through the Darkwood twice, and each time it came close to killing me. I had a dragon with me on the second journey, and it didn't make a blind bit of difference. Now, I know many of you don't believe me. You know as well as I that in all forest history, no man had passed through the Darkwood twice and survived. Well, I'm not here to convince you otherwise. I'm here to warn you. The Darkwood is oppressive. It plays tricks on your mind, sows dangerous thoughts and notions. I can only ask that you not draw your weapon and strike without prejudice. The Darkwood may make you cut down your fellow man. It's a hard, bloody journey to the Dark Tower, my friends, and you'll be facing the worst odds of your career. Most of you won't be coming back. But we have to go. The forest is depending on us to bring back the High Warlock. If we fail, darkness will spread over all the land, and there'll be nothing left to come back to. If we make it, they'll sing songs about us forever. Anyone who wants can back out now. Darkwood's no place for unwilling heroes. But for once in your life, you have a chance to make a difference. The forest land needs you, and I need you. That's all I have to say. Now what do you all have to say?
He looked around, his breath caught in his throat as he waited for their answer. And one by one, the guards drew their swords and held them aloft to the ancient warrior's oath of fealty. Rupert slowly nodded his acceptance, unable to hide how much the gesture meant to him.
Sir Champion?
Aye, sire.
Let's go!
Rupert wrapped his cloak tightly about him. He'd been traveling all morning, but though the mists had finally cleared, the day grew no warmer. A dull, blood-red sun glowered down from the dark, overcast sky, ominous with the threat of thunder and sudden storm. A heavy frost had bleached the grass verges of the trail he followed, and the uneven ground was hard and unyielding beneath the unicorn's hooves. Stark leafless trees stood brooding to every side, and silvered cobwebs shrouded what little greenery remained. No animals moved among the trees, and no birds sang. The forest lay still and silent in that bleak afternoon, and the dull, muffled hoofbeats from Rupert's troop of guards seemed an unwelcome intrusion on the unnatural quiet. The bitter wind lashed his face, chafing his cheeks raw. Rupert felt a familiar chill growing in his bones, and he knew that the wind had its beginnings in the endless night. The Darkwood's influence moved ahead of it, falling like a blight on land soon to be claimed by the darkness. Rupert started to shiver, and for a long time he couldn't stop. The champion suddenly put up a hand.
Champion, why have we stopped?
We're being watched, sire.
I don't see anybody.
They're here. They're waiting for us.
Rupert stared at the forest shadows. The gaunt spectral trees crowded about them, guarding ancient secrets in an impenetrable gloom. Rupert felt his hackles slowly rise as he made out dim, furtive movements in the shadows ahead.
Easy, men. We have the numbers. We move in. Slowly.
We give up! Honest!
What?
A broad grin spread slowly across Rupert's face as out onto the forest trail stepped a great crowd of goblins. Their leader took one look at Rupert and winced visibly.
Oh, no. Not you again.
I don't want to die!
He's got us! Drop your weapons!
Oh, please! Don't kill us!
Friends of yours?
Not exactly. You, leader, come here.
Do I have to?
You do. Fancy meeting you here again.
It's not fair. I've spent weeks turning that bunch of knock-kneed idiots into a crack fighting unit. I've taken farmers and herders and leechmen and turned them into warriors. Morale's never been higher. And then what happens? You come along and demoralize the whole damn bunch without even using your sword. It's not fair.
Oh, calm down.
Calm down? It's not enough that you become a legend among us, as the only human ever to have defeated a whole pack of goblins. It's not enough that some of that pack are still having nightmares about you. It's not enough that goblin mothers now frighten their children with tales of the nasty human who'll come for them if they're naughty. Oh, no, not content with all that. You decide to hunt us down with a whole troop of guards. What are you going to do for an encore? Set fire to the forest?
Sounds like you've told quite a tale about me just to justify your running away.
Yeah, well, what's done is done. What brings you here?
I'd ask the same thing. What are you doing so far from your home?
The Tanglewood's gone. The dark came and demons overran the narrow paths. They wrecked our homes and butchered our families. We ran before them, carrying what we could. Goblins aren't brave. We never needed to be. It's not in our nature. But after what we've seen, some of us have learned to hate. We're an old race, Sir Hero. Remnants of an earlier age. It was a simpler time then. No humans to make us afraid. No Darkwood to blight our forest. An age when magic was strong in the world. And cold iron lay safely in the ground. No danger to the small folk. Then man came, using steel against our bronze, forcing us from our ancient homes. We created the Tanglewood with the last of our magic, and made it our new home. Few of us survive the move. We live long and breed slow, and we don't like change. We're not fighters, Sir Hero. It's not our way. We don't even make good footpads, as you no doubt remember. We farm and tend our herds, and leave the world alone. All we've ever asked is to be left alone ourselves. But now the night is spreading, and our day is finally over. Once, our numbers were beyond counting. Then there were thousands of us living in the Tanglewood. Now there are hundreds, and we have no home. So we're going to the forest castle. We may not be strong and brave and carry cold steel, Sir Hero, but we can fight. And if the castle will shelter our families, we'll defend it with our lives.
The goblin leader glared defiantly up at Rupert, as if expecting an insult or a blow for his presumption in claiming his people to be warriors. Rupert looked past him and saw that the listening goblins had drawn strength from their leader, and were standing calmly in the middle of the trail, awaiting Rupert's answer. They were not proud or brave, but there was something about them that might have been dignity.
Very well. Go to the castle. ask admission in my name, Prince Rupert of the Forest Kingdom. Your families will be safe there, and the king can always use warriors like you.
Thank you. And where might you be off to, Sir Hero?
We're going to the Dark Tower to summon the High Warlock.
I don't know who I feel more sorry for, you or him. All right, everybody. It's safe to come out.
More goblins emerged from the forest shadows, women and children, carrying what few possessions they had left. The goblin leader coaxed his people into a single ragged line, and then led them past the silently watching, somewhat bemused, troop of guards. Slowly, wearily, the goblins headed down the dirt trail that led to Forest Castle.
I take it you've encountered these persons before?
Several of them tried to kill me in the Tanglewood. I showed them the error of their ways.
I see.
Ahem.
Hmm? Ah, yes. I remember you.
Yes, sir. Sir Hero. I just thought I'd say thanks. Our glorious leader's pretty damn good at fighting, but he's not much of a one for the social graces. Yeah. Not that I'll hear a word said against him, mind. It's thanks to him we've learned to kill demons. We fought off a whole pack of them not so long ago.
Wait a minute. You people fought a pack of demons? Where?
Place called Coppertown. Chopped them demons into chutney, we did. Not very tasty, mind. All bone and gristle. Now then, don't you worry about the castle, Sir Hero. We'll look after it for you. We know all kinds of nasty things to do with boiling oil.
Wouldn't surprise me in the least. About Coppertown.
Oh, nice little place, that. Many's the night me and the lads would steal calves and chickens from the townspeople. Not anymore, though.
Why not?
Demons. Ripped the village's guts out, they did. No more humans. All gone. Can't stop, Sir Hero. Got to catch up with the lads. Have a nice trip.
Thank you, Sir Goblin. But remember, if I hear you've molested one lawful traveller between here and the castle, I'll personally have you strung up by the heels for the moat monster to gnaw on. Got it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, us forest folk got to stick together. Oh, yes, definitely. Not even one traveller?
Not even one.
Oh, well, just had to check. Thank you, Sir Hero.
The guards watched the goblins depart and glanced respectfully at Rupert. Anyone who could intimidate an entire pack of armed goblins without even raising his voice was clearly a leader to be reckoned with.
Hmm. Coppertown. We could be there by evening.
You know the place?
Small mining town, sire. 800 people live there, including half a company of guards. It's not possible Coppertown could have fallen to the darkness.
The Darkwood must be closer than anyone thought. 800 people. We'd better check it out.
Indeed.
The sun was sinking fast when Rupert and the champion rode into Coppertown. No lights glowed in the miners' houses, and the narrow streets were full of shadows. The guards eyed the silent houses warily and eased their swords in their scabbards. Rupert stared about him as he led his men deeper into Coppertown, and the unshuttered windows stared back like so many dark, unseeing eyes. There was no sign of violence or destruction, but every house lay still and silent and abandoned.
Halt! Sir Champion.
Aye, sire.
Hold my unicorn. I'm going to check out one of these houses.
I'd be more use guarding your back, sire.
That's a very good point.
Shall we?
One moment. Should probably come in there with some light. Yeah. Oh, come on,
Rupert.
Ah, you finally decided to stop sulking and talk to me.
I've not been sulking, I've been thinking.
About what?
You, mostly. You've changed, Rupert.
Oh? Yeah? How?
Well, you used to have more sense for one thing. There could be any number of demons hiding in these houses.
I know. Ah, there we go. That's why I'm going to check one out.
Lantern lit?
Very much yes. Let's go.
The two walked to an empty and dark house. Rupert moved away from the door and stared about him, the champion close behind. Dirty straw matting covered the earth floor, and the bare stone walls were discolored by lichen and running damp. The smoke-blackened hearth held nothing but a little coal and some ashes. Four mismatched chairs, one obviously a small child's, surrounded a roughly hewn table. Wooden platters had been set as though for a meal. The whole room couldn't have been more than 10 feet square, and the ceiling was so low Rupert kept wanting to duck his head. The smell was appalling.
Ugh, how can people live like this?
They're a miner's family, which is just another way of saying poor. If a miner doesn't dig enough ore to meet the overseer's quota, he doesn't get paid. If he meets the quota too easily, they raise it till he can't. Wages are low and prices are high. The overseers run the only stores. A miner digs enough copper in a day to feed his family for a year, but the penalty for stealing ore is death.
I didn't know. I just never thought about it.
Why should you? You have your responsibilities, the poor have theirs. That's the way of things.
Nobody should have to live like this.
We can't all live in castles, sire. Somebody has to mine the copper. There's somebody upstairs.
Yes, thank you for that. Let's go.
On three. One, two, three!
The door swung back to reveal a tiny room, much like the one below it, but this time containing two simple beds, separated by a hanging curtain, only half-drawn. It was billowing in the wind. The champion pushed the curtain back to reveal an open window.
There's nobody here. The wind slammed the door shut.
What about under the beds?
Not a chance. They're too low to the ground to hide anything but a chamber pot.
There's a child's doll on the bed. A child most certainly lives here.
It's far too late for the whole family to be out.
Right. So where is she?
With her family, I'd imagine. Whatever happened here, I'd say they left together, of their own free will. There's been no fight or struggle in this house.
The goblin said Coppertown had been visited by demons.
Goblins have been known to lie on occasion.
I want every building in Coppertown searched, Sir Champion. Get the guards moving, while there's still some light left.
They won't find anything.
Do it anyway.
Yes, sire. Are we finished in this house?
We are. But this doesn't make any sense if the goblins lied. Why would 800 people just walk out of their homes and disappear?
The livestock is gone as well. And we would have found evidence of a struggle somewhere in the town.
There's an answer here. And we're going to find it.
All right, people. We're searching each and every building in this town for any evidence of life. Break into groups of three, and if you find anything of interest, do not investigate it any further. Immediately come back to either me or Rupert. You seven, stay with us. You have 2 hours. Go!
Wait a second.
Yes?
This is a mining town. Where's the mine?
Just down that road, sire.
We might as well check it out. It's the only place we haven't looked.
Aye, sire. It's not far. Half a mile at most.
Thank you. How is it you know this place so well?
I was born here.
A pale sliver of moon shone in the starless night as the champion led Rupert and the contingent of men down a steep hillside. Their lanterns hung from the champion's saddle, glowing golden against the dark, the pale light barely sufficient to show the path the champion followed. Tall, crooked shadows loomed menacingly out of the darkness as they wended their way through the sparse trees. The air got steadily colder, and Rupert worked to hold in a shiver.
This is it, sire. The mine.
This hole? It's barely wide enough for 3 men.
It doesn't need to be any wider. But trust me, it's big enough once you're inside. I was 10 years old when my father first took me down below. The motherlode was running out, and the barons had cut our wages to reduce the overheads. My family needed the money, and there was always work for children down the mine. The tunnel that led to the main face was so small, my father had to crawl through it on his hands and knees. All I had to do was duck my head. The only light came from the candles in our caps, and the air was thick with dust. That first day, the shift was only 6 hours, but it seemed forever. I ran away at night. I thought I was brave, but I couldn't face another day down the mine. I haven't been back here in over 30 years. But that mine still has a hold on me. Funny, isn't it? After all these years.
Rupert shot a quick look at the champion, but he seemed to have finished. The champion's face was mostly lost in shadow, but it seemed as calm and impassive as ever. Rupert looked away. He didn't know why the champion was telling him these things. It wasn't as though they were close or even friends. Rupert studied the mine entrance before him. It was hard to think of the champion as a boy, a child who laughed and cried and ran away from a darkness he couldn't bear.
Sir Champion?
We'll check the buildings first. Men, split in two groups. Look around. Stephen, search inside the tunnel, but don't go far.
Yes, sir.
Champion, take a look at this.
What is it?
It looks like scuff marks leading up to the tunnel.
They're quite deep. They're not quite scuff marks. It's as if something heavy just lay down on the ground and was dragged back into the tunnel.
Well, at least it isn't demons.
But the people are all down there.
How do you know?
These tracks, they're not quite even. People all came here like they were called. Men, women, and children. So many they must have had to wait their turn to file through the main entrance. They're down there somewhere, in the dark, waiting for us to join them.
Sir Champion, I'm not entirely sure that's... Stephen?
No, Rupert. Wait for him to return.
But he could be in trouble. You heard him.
No. He's coming back.
Sure enough, the guard came out of the darkness to meet them, his face drained of all color. He'd lost his sword and his lantern, but he was carrying something in his hand.
What's happened?
There!
There, in your hand. Give it to me.
I found it. A child's red shoe. What's so terrifying about it?
Look closely, Rupert.
What do you...
Oh. The child's foot is still inside. And this shoe wasn't always red.
Oh.
Did you find anything else in there?
I couldn't see much. It was too dark. But the smell... Oh, this smells pretty bad. Oh, excuse me. I need to sit down.
The boy's young. First tour of duty. Never struck a blow in anger. You'll get over it.
Yeah, sure. Quite a few of my guards seem just as young, Sir Champion. I take it they're all equally inexperienced?
Pretty much, sire.
No wonder the king let me have them.
You're learning.
There's nothing more we can do here. Let's get back to the town.
Back to Coppertown?
It's better than being trapped out in the open. If there are demons here, we'll be safer behind stone walls.
They didn't help the townspeople much. Aren't you curious about what's down there in the dark?
Not a lot.
There could be somebody still alive deep in the mine.
It's not very likely.
No, sire, but it is possible.
Yes, it is possible, Sir Champion. What do you think we should do?
We must go down into the dark and either save the townspeople or avenge them.
Rupert felt a sudden urge of empathy for the champion. In his own way, the champion was as scared of the mine as Rupert had been of the Darkwood. And like Rupert, the champion wasn't going to be stopped from doing what he felt was right just because he was afraid.
All right. Tell the guards what's happening and get me 4 volunteers to come with us. Have the rest set up a perimeter and mark it with torches. If there are any demons prowling, they'll steer clear of the light.
4 volunteers, sire?
This is going to be a scouting party, Sir Champion, not an attack force. There'll be time for that when we know what we're up against. And I want real volunteers, mind?
Of course, sire.
Rupert stared down the tunnel into the darkness. The darkness stared back, giving nothing away. Rupert drew his sword and hefted it. The Rainbow Run seemed a long time ago.
I don't have to do this. It's stupid to risk my life for a few hundred people. Finding the High Warlock is far more important. But I'd be leaving these people to their fates, and I'd be shirking my duty. And, if there are demons down there, I can always call down another rainbow.
The champion came back with 4 guardsmen, each carrying a sword in one hand and a lantern in the other. Rupert noticed that the champion had left his lantern behind in order to have both hands free to carry his massive war axe.
Ready, sire?
Ready, Sir Champion. You know this mine, so you'd better lead the way.
Of course, sire.
The champion strode calmly down the tunnel into the dark. Rupert followed close behind him, lantern held high, and the 4 guardsmen brought up the rear. Rupert stared worriedly at the champion's back. The man was too determined not to let his old fear of the mine rule him. That kind of single-mindedness could lead to him doing something foolhardy and get them all killed. The tunnel sloped steadily downward, and Rupert hunched forward a little to avoid bumping his head on the low ceiling. The walls were pitted and scarred, supported here and there by thick timbers, disfigured by moss and rot. And a faint, sickly sweet smell tainted the air. Rupert scowled. The smell bothered him. It seemed strangely familiar. The champion's confident pace soon slowed, and he peered about him almost hesitantly, as though troubled by unwelcome memories. Rupert glared into the darkness before him, but the lantern's pool of light didn't extend more than a few feet beyond the champion. The tunnel suddenly widened out into a cavern, a good 100 feet in diameter. Set roughly in the center, a wide shaft fell deep into the earth. Positioned over the pit was a heavy-duty windlass, from which hung a thick, sturdy rope that disappeared down into the shaft. The champion gestured for the guards to work the windlass, and Rupert realized he was looking at a simple elevator. He moved over to the shaft's edge and peered gingerly down into the pit. The sickly smell was immediately stronger.
Men, take the wheel. We're pulling up the lift.
The rope slowly began to wrap itself around the overhead windlass as the lift rose reluctantly from the bottom of the shaft. Rupert moved back from the edge, frowning unhappily as he finally realized why the smell had seemed so familiar. It was the same stench of decay he'd found in the dark wood. He watched the rope gather on the solid steel spindle for several minutes and tried to visualize how far down the shaft must go. He gave up after a while. The answer disturbed him. He moved over to join the champion.
Is this the only way down?
Aye, sire. One of the guards will go down first to spy out the situation. Once he's given the all clear, I'll send back for more guards to work the windlass, and then we can follow him down.
I don't like leaving one man down there on his own.
You're a prince. You have no right to risk your life unnecessarily.
Rupert raised an eyebrow at him and then looked away as the lift platform finally lurched into view. The solid oak platform was scarred and burned as though with acid, and the last few yards of the rope were scorched and discolored.
What in the world did this? Stand ready, Sir Champion. I'm going down.
No, sire. It's too great a risk.
That's why I have to go. Whoever sank this shaft let it fall too far. They've awakened something deep in the earth that should never have been disturbed. Cold steel isn't enough against creatures of the dark, Sir Champion. You need a magic sword, like mine.
Sire,
you swore to follow my orders.
Step aboard, sire. We'll lower you a few yards at a time. Sing out if you hit any trouble, and we'll bring you straight back up. If you're too far down to be heard, slap the rope twice with the flat of your sword.
Thank you. Feels like it can hold my weight. I just won't do any jumping jacks while on it. Lower away, Sir Champion.
Aye, sire.
Rupert carefully placed his lantern on the edge of the platform so as to have one hand free. The walls of the shaft moved slowly past him, gleaming dully in the pale golden light. Rupert sniffed the close air and grimaced. The stench of corruption was growing stronger. He remembered the red shoe and tightened his grip on the rainbow sword. The platform descended steadily into the pit, and the lamplit cavern above was soon nothing more than a shrinking circle of light. Rupert shifted nervously from foot to foot and tried not to think about how much further he still had to go before he reached the bottom of the shaft. He glanced into a shadowed cavity in the left-hand wall as it rose past him.
Stop! Now!
Are you all right, sire?
I'm fine. Raise the platform a little. I found something. Hold it!
What have you found?
I've found a human skull in a small cavity.
Newly dead?
How should I know?
Anything else?
No. Continue the descent.
The lift fell for what seemed like hours. Rupert clutched his sword so tightly his hand started to ache, and he had to force himself to loosen his grip. The air grew thick and moist, and the cloying sweet stench turned his stomach. Again and again, Rupert told himself there was no chance any of the townspeople could still be alive. But he had to be sure. He glanced back up the shaft, but no trace of the cavern remained, save for a dim speck of light far above him, like a single star on a moonless night.
Guess this is the basement. I've arrived safely. Huh? That far? All right. What do we have here?
A series of tunnels led off from the base of the shaft, each opening barely 4 feet high. Rupert chose the largest tunnel mouth and crawled gingerly forward on hands and knees, holding the lantern out before him. Moisture beaded the dark stone walls, gleaming brightly in the pale golden light. Rupert scrambled awkwardly on into the darkness and tried not to think about the vast weight of rock hanging over his head. His back arched from the unaccustomed strain of moving on all fours, and the sword in his hand seemed to grow heavier and more of a nuisance with every bruise it earned him. The tunnel floor was suddenly wet under his hands, and Rupert stopped as a horrid thought struck him. His stomach lurched as he looked down, certain he'd find the stone slick with freshly spilled blood, but there was no trace of crimson in the thick, viscous slime that lathered the floor. Rupert frowned, put down the lantern, and rubbed a little of the stuff between his fingers. The slime was clear as water and very slippery. He brought his fingers to his nose, sniffed cautiously, and then snatched his hand away. The slime stank of death and decay. The tunnel seemed suddenly full of the stench, and Rupert scrubbed his fingers on his jerkin until he was sure they were clean again. His knuckles whitened as he clutched his lantern and his sword. The familiar stench and the dark crowding around him had thrust him back into the dark wood, and once again fear threatened to overthrow his reason and leave him lost and alone in the darkness. He felt all around him, hands brushing against tunnel walls. The solid, unyielding rock was strangely comforting, and he drew strength from its inflexible reality. He felt himself calm down, and he even managed a small smile at how close the dark had come to sending him back to the edge of madness. He might still be afraid of the dark, but it couldn't break him. Not just yet, anyway. He stared down the narrow tunnel before him and held up his lantern. The floor was covered with glistening slime for as far as he could see. Rupert gnawed his lower lip uncertainly. He wanted to go on, if only to prove to himself that he could. But this was supposed to be a scouting party, and he ought really to go back and tell the champion what he'd found. The slime worried him. Demons left no such trace to mark their passing.
That's it. I'm heading out of here. That singing. So beautiful. There's something down here. Waiting for me. I have to find it. Oh! Oh, this stench! Oh, no. This is what's killed the villagers. This song, and I almost just followed them to their graves. There. That's it. It was just a trick. Oh, come on.
It had to be a trick, and a pretty damn obvious one at that. But there were children missing, and if by chance one had survived and was wandering lost in the tunnels looking for help... Rupert shook his head helplessly, trapped in an agony of indecision. He remembered the red shoe and shivered, and then he remembered the child's doll he'd found, still tucked inside his jerkin. He could feel it, pressed against his chest by the tunnel floor.
Damn it!
The slime glistened dully under the golden lamplight, and Rupert noticed, uneasily, that the walls and ceiling of the tunnel were also coated with the stuff. He struggled on, slipping and sliding and holding his sword blade carefully clear of the slime. Rupert paused for a moment. Crawling on his hands and knees was awkward as well as tiring, and his back was killing him. He glanced back the way he'd come, but the tunnel entrance was lost in the darkness. He looked ahead and frowned. He had to be close to the main workings by now.
Hello? Little girl, where are you? Don't cry, I've come to help. Oh no!
A strange pressure built on the air, pressing lightly against Rupert's face as he stared into the dark. He realized there was no child, and never had been. But then he'd always known that, deep down. He just hadn't wanted to believe it. Whatever owned the calling voice hadn't been able to see his lantern, so it had tricked him into calling out. And now it knew where he was.
No!
He fought his way back to the tunnel entrance, thrown back and forth by the shaking rock beneath him.
How big is this thing? Come on! Where the hell is the beginning of this cavern? Ooh!
The lantern flew from Rupert's hand and rolled across the floor, the pale golden light flickering ominously as it came to rest by the lift platform.
Pull me up! Pull me up! Hey! Oh, yeah. Bang on the rope.
Rupert leaned out and snatched up the lantern as the platform started to rise.
Pull faster! Pull faster!
But he knew this was as fast as they could go. Rupert clutched desperately at his sword. Whatever had called to him in the tunnel was of the dark, and the only answer to darkness was light. He had to have a rainbow. He took his sword carefully in both hands and raised it above his head. All his fear and hate and desperation came together in him, and he let it flow into the sword.
The dark will not take me this night!
Rupert felt suddenly ridiculous. The sword was cold and lifeless, and he knew that this time he was on his own. There wasn't going to be any rainbow. Rupert slowly lowered the sword and stared at it numbly. No one had ever told him the blade could be used more than once. He'd just assumed it. And he'd assumed wrong. Rupert's hands suddenly began to shake, and panic welled up within him. Until now, he hadn't realized how much he'd come to depend on the rainbow sword. Knowing he had that extra ace up his sleeve had given him a confidence and security he'd never known before. Rupert shook his head violently, forcing back the growing panic. All right, so the sword was useless. He'd just have to face the dark the hard way, that was all. He'd done it before, he could do it again. Oh.
It's following me up! Pull faster! Pull me up now!
Rupert stared anxiously up the shaft as the widening circle of light drew steadily nearer. It was going to be close. He snatched up the lantern and readied himself to jump clear the moment the elevator reached the winch cavern.
Come on, come on, yes!
The platform burst out of the shaft and into the cavern.
Everybody, run! Now!
Rupert, what in the world...
The startled guards didn't even have time to scream as they simply disappeared inside the creature's mass. Silver gray and shining with its own eerie light, Rupert saw how the shimmering flesh spread out as it surged beyond the confines of the lift shaft. In seconds flat, it had melted from a giant worm the same size as the lift shaft and started filling up the room. The creature had no shape and simply became what it needed to be to fulfill its purpose.
Let's go!
But the guard!
Run! Now!
Rupert sprinted along the tunnel, the champion close behind. Rupert glanced back once. The glowing, pearly flesh had filled the cavern and was spilling into the tunnel after them.
We're not going to make it outside, sire. We have to stand and fight.
It'll kill us!
If you've a better idea, I'm open to suggestions.
The tunnel support. The wood's half rotten anyway. Cut through enough of them and the roof will collapse. That should slow the creature down. Damn it! Yes! Keep it up!
Rupert glanced back down the tunnel and froze. The creature was fast approaching, surging forward like a flash flood. Frothing and writhing, it filled the tunnel with its eerie gray light. Deep within the semi-transparent flesh floated the limp bodies of the guards, turning slowly over and over, and Rupert finally knew what had happened to the people of Coppertown.
That's it! Now run!
Fresh air! Oh, that's good.
I will inform the elders of these events.
You do that. I'm just going to sit right down and look for my lungs. Oh.
Rupert sat with his back propped against the half-timbered base of the main entrance. He would have been hard-pressed to name a part of him that didn't ache, but he was alive and intact, and that was enough to set him grinning like he'd never stop. He realized he was still holding tight to his sword and his lantern. He put the lantern down beside him and studied the sword thoughtfully. It seemed the magic was gone from the rainbow sword, and in a strange way, Rupert was almost glad. The last time he'd stood against the dark, a rainbow had come down to save him. This time he had had to do it himself. And knowing that he'd been able to meant a great deal to him. He considered for a moment giving up the rainbow sword in favor of a blade more suited to combat, but decided against it. The sword had a good edge and a good balance, and he was used to it.
What?
Rupert looked back into the tunnel. Countless tons of fallen rock stood between him and the creature of the dark. There was no way in which it could get past such a barrier. But as he stared into the tunnel darkness, a horrid certainty grew within him. The creature had no shape save that dictated by its surroundings, and when it moved, it frothed and undulated, as though its unnatural flesh was some strange mixture of solid and liquid, or perhaps even something else entirely, with the properties of both. In his mind's eye, Rupert saw again the solid oak platform burst asunder as the creature smashed right through it, without even slowing.
It can't still be alive!
Sire? Where are you going?
Just down the tunnel away.
It isn't safe, sire.
If that tunnel isn't sealed, none of us is safe. I'm going to take a look.
Very well, sire. Wait just a moment, and I'll detail a few guards to accompany us.
No! We took 4 guards with us on our first investigation of this mine, Sir Champion. Now they're dead. I never even knew their names. What's left of that tunnel roof could come down at any minute, and I'll not put any more of my men at risk unless I have to. I'm only going back in because I need to be sure.
Then I'll come with you. I need to be sure, too.
Rupert nodded and headed down the tunnel into the darkness, the champion at his side. The tunnel air was still thick with dust, and the walkable areas that were still left seemed ready to collapse at any moment. Rupert and the champion soon reached the ragged wall of fallen stone and earth and broken timber created by the cave-in. The champion stared dubiously about him as Rupert moved cautiously forward to inspect the massive barricade.
What are you looking for, sire?
Any sign of the creature. I heard something when I was outside, and I just want to make sure.
That wall is solid. Come away, sire. It's all over.
A small hole appeared at the top of the pile, and through the gap slithered a long rope of glowing silver flesh.
Rupert, if the cave-in didn't hurt it, I don't see what more we can do, sire. Let's get out of here. If we can get to the horses, we might be able to outdistance it.
No! We have to stop it here. At least the tunnel keeps it to a manageable size. If it reaches the surface...
Very well. I never did believe in running away from a good fight. What are your orders, sire?
The barrier began to fall apart as glowing silver-gray flesh enveloped the smaller rocks and digested them. More and more of the creature flowed into the tunnel as Rupert glared furiously about for an answer. The creature was of the dark, and the dark must always fall to the light. The rainbow sword had failed him, but perhaps his lantern. He darted forward and carefully placed the lantern in the path of a probing silver tentacle. The tentacle ignored the lantern and continued toward Rupert.
No! Yeah! Well, it can be cut.
Sire! It's broken through!
Broad cracks had spread across the barrier, and the creature was breaking through in a dozen places. Rupert and the champion fell back, and the creature flowed after them. A silver tentacle rolled over the lantern, engulfing it in a second. The tentacle writhed feebly as the fire consumed it, burning fiercely until nothing remained but an evil stench in the air.
That's it! Fire! Oil lamps! Get me some oil lamps!
I will be back shortly.
Rupert hefted his sword and studied the creature warily by its own eerie light. The barrier blocking the tunnel was riven in a dozen places, and silver-gray flesh oozed through the narrow fissures in a steady flow. Rupert knew it was only a matter of moments before the creature burst through. The mounting pressure would burst the wall asunder, and the creature would come roaring down the tunnel like a flash flood. If the champion wasn't back by then, Rupert knew that running wouldn't be enough to save him.
Sire, we have a dozen oil lamps here.
Right! Empty the oil out onto the floor, then go back for more lamps. Move it! There's not much time! That's good. Is that all we have?
We can get more, sire.
Think it's enough?
If not, we'll soon find out, sire.
Sir Champion, give me your lantern, and then get out of here with the men.
Lighting the oil is my job, sire.
Not this time.
I'll wait at the entrance, sire. Don't be long.
Thank you. Now go!
Rupert knelt beside the pool of oil and watched the barrier slowly fall apart. He wasn't really sure why he'd sent the champion back. He only knew this was something he had to do. If only to prove to himself that he didn't need a magic sword to be brave. Rupert opened the lantern and took out the candle stub. He glanced at the pool of oil and hesitated. If he stooped down to light the oil with the candle, the sudden flames would engulf him too. But if he threw the candle, it would probably go out before it hit the oil. And then the creature broke through and surged down the tunnel toward him. Rupert wavered uncertainly as the glowing silver tide came sweeping forward, dark shadows that had once been men floating half-digested within the creature's bulk. Some of the shadows were no larger than children. And Rupert grinned fiercely as he pulled from inside his jerkin the cloth doll he'd found abandoned back in the miner's house. He dipped the doll's head in the oil, stood up, and then touched the candle to the doll's head.
This is for Coppertown.
Rupert bolted from the cavern's entrance as the creature burned brighter than the brightest lamp. It writhed and heaved as the fire coursed through it, consuming the creature from within. He tried to retreat back down the tunnel, but the fire followed, and the flames grew brighter still, turning blue and yellow, until Rupert could hardly see for the blinding glare. He ran for the surface again, driven away by the searing heat.
Oh,
what the...
You weren't out long, just a minute or so. You saw a huge burst of light, and you literally flew from the cave entrance.
Ah, so that's why my head hurt.
Most likely. I take it the creature burned, sire?
Yes. It burned.
Do you think it's dead?
They say fire purifies. No, Sir Champion, it's not dead. We've just hurt it, and driven it back. Back into the depths. Into the dark and secret places of the earth from which it came.
Oh, don't strain yourself, sire. I'd say you've earned yourself a rest.
Oh, thank goodness.
You didn't have to stay and light the oil. That was well and bravely done, sire.
You did pretty well yourself, Sir Champion.
I did my duty, nothing more. A pity we couldn't save any of the townspeople.
It was already too late when we got here. There was nothing we could have done. Not much of a homecoming for you, was it?
Forest Castle is my home, sire. It always has been. What are your orders regarding the mine?
Have the guards bring down the tunnel roof again, Sir Champion. I want that entrance completely blocked. I doubt it'll stop the creature getting out, but it should stop it enticing any more victims down into the mine.
Good idea, sire. I shall see to it.
The champion moved away to give the orders to the guards. Rupert watched him go and let his hand rest on the pommel of the rainbow sword. Now that the blade had proved itself worthless as a weapon against the dark, his mission to summon the High Warlock became more important than ever. The wind seemed suddenly colder. Rupert stared up at the new moon. Already it seemed tinged with blue, like the first hint of leprosy.